back to the broadcast. We're in the second hour. Here we see, to evaluate the potential effects and benefits of weather modification in Oklahoma. After 3 years of evaluation, the state government decided to implement the program as an official element of Oklahoma's water management strategy. A state law was passed in 1999, creating a new weather modification division within the Oklahoma Water Resources Board. It's on our weather modification site on AmericanExpose.com. Alan, continue with your thoughts and direction. I'm sorry. Who do we have with us?
Researcher.
Okay, there he is.
Yeah. Okay, Wilhelm Reich, the German researcher, had built his Cloudbust, and he would be called into drought-stricken areas to set up where he could measure the atmospheric charge. He would measure, make different measurements and calculations, and set up his Cloudbuster. And diagrams and instructions on building Cloudbusters are in his books. There are books by Wilhelm Reich and on Wilhelm Reich. When he set up a Cloudbuster and he said, okay, according to my calculations, and he would be specific, he would say, in 26 hours, the rain will start. Well, in 25 hours, the clouds would start coming together. On the 26th hour, they would have floods and deluges. Now, he decided that it was immoral to be manipulating weather, and that if anybody and everybody started doing it, we would upset the balance on our planet on a large scale.
Yes.
And now these fellows who are working in these state offices in the heads of these weather modification divisions, like it's okay, like we approved it or asked them to do it, are modifying weather left and right. You and I can go down there with $100, get a license to do it, go up there in a Piper Club and start making it rain on West Austin and drying up on East Austin.
And isn't that amazing that so many countries around the globe are devastated by drought?
Yeah, and
if
we don't stand up and say, hey, you guys, you know, we don't know how you got started doing this, but we're going to make you stop. You can't do this.
Wilhelm Reich, now, you're talking about Wilhelm Reich. When was he doing his research and in information?
Wilhelm Reich started in the world of psychology in the, I think it was like the 30s, and then through the 40s in sociology, and then through the 50s in weather control, and he died in 1957.
There you go. A long time ago.
Yeah, and but what he did was, it was valid. It was really happening. They really did have those floods when he said they would and where they said they would because of his manipulations. Mm-hmm. And but the point I'm getting to is that he stopped because he realized the devastating potential and the immorality of taking control of that.
Is there any doubt in your mind that what just happened down in New Orleans, in Louisiana, is there any doubt in your mind that it was created?
I don't know if it was intentionally created. I know that the results of mankind's activities, both intentional and unintentional, are what caused the massiveness, the consolidation of these weather patterns, the changes in the ocean temperatures and currents.
Yes.
And that, those are areas that need to be left alone. And I believe the next really, really big one that we're going to see, is probably going to be, and I don't know just when, but it will be an ice age due to things that we messed with.
Yeah, very good point. Very pregnant point. And that's to be concerning for all of us at this juncture.
Right.
Well, Alan, I appreciate your thoughts.
Well, thanks again, Chris.
Thank you, Alan.
Bye.
This is the point and the problem, people. Here we have FEMA in place, martial law, state of national emergency, all talked about and exposed by us years ago that this was going to happen. Here we are right in the middle of it right now, people. Jeff Bennett, about to return to Republic Broadcasting. Stay with us. American Exposé listeners. Once again, I'm Chris Gerner. It's called American Exposé, and we're joined with Jeff Bennett. Jeff, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks, Chris. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine and dandy. It's been quite a while since you and I have talked. I can never follow around what part of the country you're traveling to.
Well, I'm stuck here in Oklahoma, and I don't plan on going anywhere else. I don't know where else to go, Jeff.
You know, as far as the country is concerned, I'm not sure there is anywhere else to go. I keep talking to people that have relocated to Idaho and Wyoming and Montana, and maybe they'll escape it a little bit longer than folks that live in Tulsa or Phoenix or Chicago, but it'll eventually get there. I understand that there's a number of these refugees from New Orleans that are getting shipped up to Salt Lake City, of all places.
Yes.
I guess even the LDS folks up there need to be masses as well. But who knows? I guess I talked to a guy from Idaho this morning. He is actually forking up the money to bring a family up to the Kamei area that's come out of New Orleans. I didn't press for further information. It wasn't my business. But it's crazy. It's crazy.
I certainly see that more than likely every state will take their refugees.
Well, let's face it. I think we both know economically, Chris, the more of them they take, the more federal funding that they get, the more of those $2,000 debit cards that the refugees are being given is going to be spent in those individual states. Of course, that's all taxpayer dollars. And as I posted in a column that I wrote last night on the Federal Observer, first column I've written in 6 months, folks, get ready for the true cost of this thing, not just Mr. Bush's war, but now this new war that we have regarding New Orleans and the whole Mississippi-Alabama circus. These hundreds of thousands of people are getting spread all over the country, all at the taxpayers' expense. Our great, great, great grandchildren's children will still be paying the bill on this deal.
Absolutely. And there's no money to pay off these debit cards as people use them. They don't have jobs. We don't have jobs. The WTO and that system is developed at all, moving our business and industry and high-tech jobs overseas.
Well, a lot of them didn't have jobs to begin with. I had a guy who left a note on one of our columns last night that stated, you know, you find it real interesting that these people don't seem to have money for food, but they weigh 350 pounds, so obviously they were eating somewhere at some point in time.
Well, basically that comes from not having a job.
That's right.
And sitting all the time.
And living off government-subsidized cheese.
That's right, and this goes way back to the Johnson administration.
Yep.
And so we see the pattern from way back to where we are now. And so what are we dealing with? FEMA and the federalization of the states that are being manipulated. So it's Governor Blanco was doing the right thing by not wanting FEMA in there. And certainly the people at the Superdome were suffering and tremendously upsetting situations on purpose. And so here we see that evidently, according to certain sources, these levees were imploded to bring about the dialectic of the situation that we're in right now.
Well, whether they were physically imploded or it happened because of a natural disaster, we've all read enough reports over the last week that do more than indicate that major, and here we go again, I hate the terminology, but major federal funding was pulled away from the rebuilding and restoration projects on those levees to begin with, and of course it was all earmarked for Junior's war.
Well, and the Army Corps of Engineers, they remove dams under Agenda 21.
Absolutely, and it's funny because you bring that up as you do every day, but the thing that became interesting in the column last night, and I didn't make specific reference to Agenda 21, but what I did make reference to is and I don't know if time allows, maybe it's, if you'll allow me to, it may be worth even reading this column.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the air, and if we get to a break, we'll just break and do it. The column's titled, Coming of Age in a Nation in Chaos. Coming of Age, a term once used to describe a young boy or girl approaching manhood or womanhood. As I near the end of my sixth decade on God's good earth, I'm coming of age once more, but with greater wisdom and knowledge than most of those in their youth. And what I see is darkness for a nation led astray and her people who have abandoned the lessons of history. and we reference four reasonably recent, let's call them tragedies, June 8th of 67, the attack by friendly forces on the USS Liberty, February 26th of 1993, the first World Trade Center bombing, July 17th of 96, the downing of TWA Flight 800, October 12th of 2000, attack on the USS Cole. 4 years ago this week, we witnessed the devastation in New York of the World Trade Center, the attack on the Pentagon, downing of a passenger plane in the remote farmland of Pennsylvania, a day now referred to only as 9-1-1, our acknowledged second day of infamy. As luck would have it, only about 3,000 souls were lost on that fateful day, about 20% more than the number lost on Mr. Roosevelt's day of infamy. Another warning had been issued by the heavens above, and yet America continued to ignore said warnings. And I know that a lot of our readers and, frankly, listeners, Chris, would like us to further discuss Kennedy, Oswald, Ruby Ridge, Waco, Oklahoma City. It goes on and on. But it's all been covered inside the archives of my site, the Federal Observer. It's all been covered on our alternative broadcast for all the years we've known each other. Mm-hmm. I tell people, use the search engine on the Federal Observer, enter any subject they want to read about, and all the columns will pop up regarding those issues.
You know, back in 1967, you talk about the USS Liberty and that tragedy. In the same year, we lost the USS Pueblo to North
mm-hmm.
Korea.
That's correct.
And
that doesn't even count the downing of the Flight 007,
right.
Korean Airlines. It goes on and on and on. Let me continue here because we'll get to where I started to go. Katrina has brought this nation its greatest natural disaster. The tens of thousands of displaced people, I mean DPs, Chris, that's a terminology out of our youth that our parents used, may never return home to a once vibrant city. The total number of dead in New Orleans alone is expected to make that of 9-1-1 pale by comparison, not including those deaths in Alabama and Mississippi. As of this writing last night, some have already died of diseases associated with bacteria. Many more will suffer a lifetime due to mold and mildew infections and other. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do, and what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. A statement made by Dr. Tom Dooley, who passed away in 1961. 1960, on the brink of my first coming of age, Chris, I avidly read the trilogy by Dr. Dooley about his humanitarian efforts in Southeast Asia during the last years of his life. I learned through his third book, The Night They Burned the Mountain, that in that region of the world, as has been the practice for thousands of years, the land is replenished and revitalized by fire. The farmers burn the crops, chiefly rice fields, to rid the land of pestilence and disease, as well as to refresh the earth for a new crop. As for New Orleans, and I'm sure that will draw the anger of many of our listeners today, it's time to replenish the earth. In his infinite wisdom and for whatever purpose, he has sent a storm so violent to rout out the evil in a decadent city, and to send another warning to an evil nation, suffer the innocent children. In order to complete the replenishment, it is time to burn the mountain. If New Orleans wants to build, it must complete the cycle which God has begun. For if it's not completed, many more tens, if not hundreds of thousands, will die upon returning to the city on Pontchartrain, and a plague shall be upon them. Claims are that over 400,000 jobs will be lost due to Hurricane Katrina. Barely one-plus week since the storm put the city underwater, billions of dollars and plenty of blame have been spent to address the issue. Oh, don't worry about the money. Uncle Alan has the printing presses working overtime to fill the needs of many. And many more will pay the price for generations to come. Oh, by the way, did you forget Mr. Bush's war wages on? As for the who-is-to-blame game for the slow response to this emergency, I believe that Federal Observer contributing columnist Angie Carlson has said it best in her column, Must Government Provide You with Everything in a Disaster? And that column is available on the Observer, Chris. Has anything changed since Katrina? No. Same recipients of the government dole, they've just moved to new cities. And Vicente Fox's best friend is ensuring that victims get debit cards with $2,000 bucks worth of your great-great-grandchild's children's tax dollars. We be owing our soul to the company store. Hallelujah, you mammy jammers. Be passing me the plate of the okra. And the only racist statement in this whole tale is Kanye West, and the title of Dr. Dooley's first book suggests Deliver Us from Evil. And as for the edge of tomorrow, while we witness more corruption, lies, and deceit emanating from the lips of politicians' oversized orifices, hundreds of thousands of citizens of Jefferson Parish are being shipped to shelters unknown in every gulag of the country. Corruption? Absolutely. What happened to Bill O'Reilly after, over at Fox News, after 9-1-1, he exposed the misdirection of funds earmarked for the Red Cross, which donors had contributed to the survivor relief efforts? You mean to tell me that no such misdirection is happening this time? FEMA has turned away truckloads of water, food, and fuel earmarked for, by corporate donation and private citizen alike for the Katrina relief efforts. Every pitch on the television says, send money. No contribution is too small or too large. Over two-thirds of the clothes that I personally own, Chris, I would gladly donate to people in need. I have jackets, slacks, shirts, sweaters, jeans, shoes, boots, all of which I would put into their hands. But FEMA and the Red Cross say, oh, no, please give them brand new clothing items so that they will feel good. Finally, the Salvation Army of Phoenix set up a donation center for such items. Lies? Deceit? Damn right. The governor of Louisiana and the mayor of the Big Sleazy had the ultimate responsibility to contact FEMA and ask for the help, because that's ultimately where the responsibility lies. On the other hand, the crumb bums in Washington, D.C. walk around with thumbs up their posteriors, oblivious to what the rest of the nation watched on the boob tube. They can't pick up the phone and ask the governor if mayor if assistance is needed. We'll finish when we come back.
Keep in mind, listeners, the phone number, 800-313-9443. We have Kenny on hold, 800-313-9443. We'll be back with Jeff Bennett. Stay with us. Broadcasters, we're sitting here trying to do our best, and there's micro broadcasters out there doing their best. We need to support all that effort. Micro broadcasting is very, very important. Jeff Bennett with his thoughts. Continue, Jeff.
Thanks much. Now, picking up where we left off, in reference to Michael D. Brown, the head of FEMA, the question has been raised, Chris, is should his head roll? I continued by saying, let's worry about it later. Head him up, move him out. And Bush, who thinks he's Truman reincarnate, said the buck stops here. Of course, he was pointing at Chertoff when he said it. And by the way, hospitalman Robert Martins, age 20, of Queen Creek, Arizona, died in Al-Qaim, Iraq, on Tuesday. Vice President Cheney was exhumed from his crypt yesterday to see daylight for the first time since January 20th. Junior sent Dick on a mission to the storm rack southeast to shore up the president's bumbling legacy. I don't know about you, Chris, but I can't watch Bush on the television. I want to puke every time he's on.
I've been puking for years.
Absolutely.
About all the presidents.
Yeah, and are our listeners offended? Well, maybe so, but, you know, there was a letter that was submitted to CNN yesterday that said, how do you expect idiots who can't even get a bottle of water into Louisiana to win a war? I couldn't have said it better myself.
No.
Now, where have the wealthy American corporate moguls gone? Americans are helping the victims of Katrina in ways many thought that they would ever see in this country. Policemen, firefighters, rescue teams, big show business folks from television, film, and the music industry, they're chipping in big time, not just by digging into their pocketbooks, but rolling up their sleeves and helping out. Harry Connick Jr. has returned to his hometown numerous times since the hurricane to tour the devastation and help out. Oprah, Aaron Neville, Faith Hill, Macy Gray, Sean Penn, Paul Simon, Wynton Marsalis, Morgan Freeman, and many others. And then some pitcher from a once-in-a-hundred-year World Series championship quietly came out of nowhere and pitched the perfect game yesterday. Out of Boston, Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling and his wife Shonda paid to fly a New Orleans family of nine to Boston and pledged to provide them with housing for a year.
Mm.
The Schillings have always been great givers. It certainly beats the taking by those bonded in Frisco, if you catch my drift. We miss Curt Schilling here in Arizona. He's more than a great ball player. He's a great humanitarian. And so where are the Bill Gates and the Ted Turners and his ex-wife and the Forbes family, the Waltons, and I don't mean goodnight, John Boy. Have they kicked in some dough, even though they lost some stores at Walmart? Did they kick in as a corporation or as a family? Maybe they could offer some of their vacated old box stores and make them available to the displaced. What about Rupert Murdoch? If Oprah can kick in $1 million along with Puff Daddy and others, why can some of these OFA masses give back to the slaves? Well, I'm white. I'm Caucasian, if you will. And I'm pissed. Color? I'm colorblind. And I could care less. What angers me, Chris, is that large numbers of people, no matter their pigmentation, have been raised or indoctrinated into being victims. and they're now being used and moved around like cattle from pasture to pasture. Follow the money trail, people, from state to state and see who really benefits. The next thing you know is that FedGov will declare New Orleans under eminent domain, grab the whole city and turn it over to the United Nations as some kind of a historic biosphere reserve or such, some other such BS. Oops, no chemtrails over New Orleans today. No one there to make sick anymore. They've all left town. And by the way, if the mayor of New Orleans is given the order to evacuate the entire city, why does Ben Dover and his kind get to stay and celebrate their annual Rump Us Party? As I said earlier, burn it, while politicians fiddle. As I near my seventh decade, Chris, I feel the night coming on for this nation.
It's a disaster that needs to be exposed for what it was, and for the press never to be covering the fact that weather manipulation is a reality tells
Absolutely.
Us a lot. It tells us a lot, doesn't it, Jeff?
It does, Chris. I tell you, last night writing that column was a strange one because it's a very erratic column. It doesn't flow as smoothly as some of my other work because it was just a way to get down a lot of instant gut thoughts and feelings, and there's no rhyme or reason to any of it. Hopefully, because there's a lot of pluses and minuses to it in many estimations. My attitude is government's got no business being involved. Unfortunately, they may or may not have been the cause through manipulation and other reasons. We can park that for a minute, and I have to look at the humanitarian situation. But I bring up the issues of gulags, and these people are being sent all over the country, some completely separated from families. Families may or may not ever find each other again. That's all part of the goal. It's the chaos. Factor.
You think
the Arizona Coliseum and the Houston Astrodome and any of the rest of these things aren't in effect nothing more than concentration camps? Maybe not to the extent that you and I know a concentration camp. Get the public used to moving them around and being corralled.
Holding centers for populations is very, very ironic and very, very much in place.
Absolutely.
And certainly the concentration camp program has been exposed by others as far back as 1976. William Pabst, Dr. Pabst, sued the federal government for the concentration camp program, and nobody knows what happened to Dr. Pabst.
I have a Look magazine from 1968. The entire issue was devoted, believe it or not, to the concentration camp issue. And, of course, at that time, it was all being discussed in terms of rounding up the anti-Vietnam War dissidents, et cetera, et cetera. So this goes, now we're back into 1968.
Yes, yes.
And, of course, the comparisons are always made with the relocations and the incarceration of the Japanese in World War II, et cetera, et cetera, the Japanese Americans. So things don't change, Chris. They just escalate and compound.
We'll start taking your calls upon the return of our commercial pause, listeners, for the Free Enterprise Cause. Trucker Kenny is next. Stay with us. I see here George Bush is going to offer households $2,000 each, and I presume as they take in families. Before we take callers, Jeff Bennett, certainly we have a link on our website to Republic Trading. Jeff, tell us about Republic Trading.
Republic Trading was born out of frustration of sponsors that Republic Broadcasting it earlier had, and as John and Sandra began to realize that there were just far too many horribly overpriced charlatans out there that were selling gold. And frankly, very few of those companies had any concern about the client's needs and what the client was actually trying to do. And the decision was made to form the Republic Trading Group, bring it in-house, stop relying on outside sponsors that you could not control. You could not control delivery time or anything else. Republic was formed some months ago, and several people were brought in to work with it, and for one reason or another, relations didn't work out, and a mutual friend of John and mine basically brought us back together again after many, many years of not working with one another. And, Chris, you were a very big part of those early years, as you well know.
Oh, yes.
So John and I basically got together. Now, I was on his program a week ago Tuesday. We were on for 2 hours, and it was absolutely explosive. Yesterday was the first day I had any degree of respite because the phone calls start coming in at about 7 in the morning, and they don't sometimes quit until 7, 8 o'clock at night. And we're filling people's needs, and we're providing a tremendous service with extremely fair-priced gold and silver coins, bullion in some instances, bags of junk silver. We are doing now where other people did not want to deal with them before. Personally, there's a lot of people want American silver eagles or Canadian maple leaves. Why? Because it's a pure one-ounce increment, and yet there are other pure one-ounce increments that are highly recognizable on the international market in silver that we can acquire for about $20 less per roll delivered into our clients' hands. And obviously, if folks have got questions about silver, about gold, maybe they just want to discuss what they currently own with us and see if they want to do some repositioning, they can give Republic Trading Group a call at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. 90% of the calls are going to come to me. I will return their calls. Chris, they're probably going to get my voicemail when they call in. We've got one person that keeps trying to call and call and call, will not leave a message, hangs up. There's nothing I can do for somebody like that. I'm sorry that we're not always instantly available when folks call.
Yeah.
We are busy.
Yeah.
Economics dictates busy right now. You know, we've been talking about Katrina for this hour, and I know you did the first hour. Fact of the matter is that devastation, look, we're already spending billions upon billions of dollars each and every day to support Junior's war. Now we've got this other war at home. You know, how many $2,000? $2,000 debit card. I'll give you $2,000 for taking a family in. I mean, how many more of these things? Like I say, the printing presses are running overtime.
Mm-hmm.
These are just electronic number games. People don't like what they're seeing.
Right.
Gold, silver. These are not things that should be purchased for speculation that you're going to make a ton of money, but that you're going to be able to hang on to and preserve what you've got.
Well, gee, Jeff, it's only real money.
Oh, yeah, it's a real shame. John and I spoke last week. Since Bush took office, it's been nearly 5 years now, the value of the dollar has dropped by 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Simple terms, Chris, $10,000 in the bank January 20th, 2001, the day Bush took office, is today only worth $6,000 in so-called constant purchasing power. But if they put that same $10,000 into simple gold coins, private, non-confiscable, simple gold coins, nothing elaborate, nothing high-grade, rare, if it had just gone in that direction, that $10,000 then would be worth about $17,500 today. So don't tell me gold's not a good investment. It not only has kept up with the falling dollar, but at least it's kept one a little bit further ahead. And at $3, $3.25, $4 a gallon gasoline, it certainly helps to pave the way, doesn't it?
It does. And maybe what we should do is plan on getting together next week this time, if you're available, or one day next week on the second hour. We'll bring you back to keep going with this direction because this is vital. And the board is full now, Jeff. So maybe we should take some calls and continue with the Republic Trading direction because I think it's very, very vital.
Well, I do too. And I mean, you know me well enough to know this is amongst the ways I've been involved with staying on the air for many, many years.
Yes.
Right now, my soul, because John and I've talked about it, we've got some things going on. John says, let's try to get you your own program. And I said, you know what, right now, John, my ego does not dictate that I need an hour of my own programming. Let's continue to go on John's show the same day every week for a half hour to an hour. Let's come on yours. Let's do the same thing. Keep reaching people. Give them economic updates. Share some of the economic things that we're coming across and finding. There's a marvelous education to silver that we can share with people that will maybe change the way they think about silver ownership. Certainly, I want to change the way a lot of people think about gold. Quick example. Two quick examples. One is a Katrina story regarding gold and silver. One is not. Had a client call from Phoenix, Arizona the other day. Wanted to buy, he already knew what he wanted to buy. He wanted to buy some certified U.S. $20 gold pieces. MS-64 St. Gaudens, MS-63 Saints. I gave the guy a price. He said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, no. He said, I called this other company in Scottsdale. He said they were over $200 higher for the exact same coin. So in this particular instance, on that given day, we were at about $715 for a particular coin. This other company was at $965. Folks, you're getting shafted when you pay that kind of money. Understand why you want to buy gold and get the most private, non-confiscable gold in whatever increments you can afford to buy. Go for the volume. Don't let somebody sell you on the so-called rare coin story, because most of those certified coins you're buying aren't rare, are never going to be rare again, which means you're spending $200 to $300 more per ounce than you need to spend. And that's where Republic Trading Group will counsel and work with you. Told a guy an hour ago, I'll spend as much time with somebody who wants to buy a $175 roll of silver coin as I do with a guy who wants to spend $50,000.
Very good, Jeff. The number of listeners, 800-691-7898, 800-691-7898. Let's field these calls. Let's take Kenny in Wisconsin. Kenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris.
Yes, sir.
And Jeff, that
yes.
was a very good dissertation what you wrote.
Thank you.
I think at least you struck every chord along my line. The reason I'm calling, and I'll get right to the point, I have a few websites here. I want the listeners and you, if you're not aware of Scott Stevens' website, weatherwars.info. He's a meteorologist out of Pocatello, Idaho.
Mm.
And for the last 2 years, he's done an in-depth study and research on weather manipulation. He has a very good website, and he has the latest satellite imaging from the Ghost 10 and the Ghost 12 satellites, high resolution.
Wow.
And he's giving you a lesson in weather manipulation, the scalar EM energy that's being used.
And he's a partner website to ours as well. AmericanExpose.com. He's there on our website, yes.
Okay. The other one is RadarMatrix.com and BariumBlues.com.
Oh, that sounds real exciting.
And then as far as the chemtrail issue, we all know of Cliff Carnicom at Carnicom.com.
Right.
Okay, that was all I really had to say. I wanted this information to be heard by the listeners so they can go to their computer and have this information exponentially grow so that people can become aware of weather manipulation.
Very, very good, Kenny. I sure appreciate it.
Kenny, fast question. What part of Wisconsin are you from?
I live in north-central Wisconsin, Lincoln County. I'm between Merrill and Tomahawk.
I know the area. I was born in Elkhorn down the southeast section and raised in Kettle Moraine territory, and basically still call it home, even though my family moved out of there at the age of when I was three. But I still spent most of my youth back up there on some massive property, and I thoroughly miss it.
Yeah, well, I have a wonderful setup here with 45 acres, 40 in woods. And I do drink country water, and I don't use any fluoride or anything of that nature.
Good mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah.
Just stay out of that socialist city of Madison. We know what that's all about.
Especially State Street. Okay, guys. Hey,
thank
God
you.
Ya bless, and I'll talk at you again in the future.
Very, very good.
Bye-bye.
Sure appreciate it. Let's go to Larry in Iowa. Larry, welcome.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
I don't know how trivial this might be, but I'm helping pack down here, and I found a book of names. And just for grins and giggles, I looked up Katrina. Its cultural language and cultural origin is Russian and German.
Yep.
Its inherent meaning means spotless. Its spiritual connotation is cleansed. So on that point, I went on to Ophelia. And Ophelia is Greek, and the inherent meaning is helper.
Interesting. Somebody wrote a column the other day, Larry, that basically said, you know, it's interesting, two of the most major hurricanes we've had in the last few years, one was Ivan and now Katrina. When did we start naming all these hurricanes after Russians?
Yeah.
And what's the purpose of it? I guess to get us used to talking to people like that. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. That's all I have, so go ahead and take another caller.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
And, you know, I can't help but take it to the Security Council of the UN. It's secretive. They work behind closed doors. There's population reduction agendas in place. And obviously, we're seeing it right here.
Chris, this is you bring up an interesting point and a real fast question. I woke up this morning. My phones were going absolutely insane. And I talked to Sandy real quickly, and I've not even read this because I haven't been at any site, that allegedly Mexico's sending troops up here to assist in this. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, I just covered it the first hour.
Did you? Okay, Cuba has, Castro has offered to send 1,100 doctors and medical team people up.
It's a global community.
But the point that I want to know is, I noticed that every time there's a need, the Blue United Nations comes running to us begging for money and manpower, and yet I certainly don't see them offering to assist us. Thank God. I don't want them here. I mean,
well,
great little targets, but
they've offered, and we're going to take that offer. You wait.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's only a matter of time.
Of course.
And we all, you know, they want $845 billion from us.
Sure.
If we stop funding them, they collapse.
Well, that's not a bad idea. We could use that $845 billion elsewhere right now, couldn't
that
we?
That needs to happen.
Uh-huh.
Mike in Arizona, welcome.
Chris and Jeff.
Yes, Michael.
Sir.
Michael,
yes.
Darling, how are you?
I am fine today. Hey, just a little bit about this Hurricane Katrina. I was listening to the AM news on the radio, and they were talking about a volunteer evacuation. And then they followed it up and said that the police were going from house to house with machine guns to remove all the people from New Orleans.
Well, yeah, it's no longer a volunteer, Mike. The mayor of New Orleans has issued the orders that the city is to be vacated. The governor, however, as of last night, had not signed off on it yet. Chris, you mean that Michael is a good personal friend who's been a tremendous help to me. He and I were supposed to actually get together last week. We're going to shift it to this week. It's pretty bad that you and I can't talk to each other across the valley locally. We got to go through this mechanism to touch bases, buddy.
Oh, well, that's...
I wonder what AM radio program you were listening to this morning. Is somebody named Ernie associated with that?
Yes, sir.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yes, sir. And a couple other things. I kind of got a list here about this Hurricane Katrina aftermath. Some of the stuff that I've heard, and I'm sure you covered a lot of it, Chris, on the things about how they desensitize people and to get them used to going house to house, search and seizure.
Right.
The concentration camps. My wife came home the other day and said, well, you know, they closed all these military bases. Why can't we just move the people onto these military bases? And
there you go.
A couple other examples is the federal government's involvement, and they always seem to want to sit around and talk about the problem until it gets worse. Like we've had our problems here with the fires in Arizona, that it was 100 acres, and the people said, well, let's go use some fire trucks and some aerial bombardment on them. And the government comes in, and they want to talk about it for 4 days, and the problem only seems to get worse and worse.
Now, Mike, isn't it ironic that you have the Global Fire Monitoring Center invented by Russia in 1996, part of the UN system today, monitoring all the fires in the globe for removal of populations off areas?
Sounds like Agenda 21.
It is Agenda 21.
Well, Chris, Mike brings up this whole business about the desensitization of the American public, and that is exactly what's happening. One disaster after another, one flood, one fire. This hurricane, as we all know, is massive proportions. But the American public, it doesn't matter if Geraldo throws a hissy fit on the air for whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, whether you agree with it. Look, everybody's got a right to show their emotion and their anger. In some respects, I agreed with what he did. The thing that's interesting, everybody kind of got on Geraldo's case because it's Geraldo, but nobody did the same thing over Shepard Smith, who flat cut off Bill Riley and wouldn't let him get his mouth open because Smith wanted to finish. But the point is, we've now gone through 9 or 10 days of complete desensitization. The public is getting used to this movement of people around and the displacement and the fact that we are seeing for the first time in our history an entire city being evacuated and the people being herded like cattle.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, one last thing, too. I got a whole list, but this is one of the important things. Remember when we went into Iraq? We were all so, Saddam was so evil because he's living in all these palaces. But there's people down the street that don't have any drinking water. But now we have the President of the United States, the governor, the mayor, and everything, while all these people down here in New Orleans don't have any drinking water. Maybe it's time that we remove some of the people in our government that are just as guilty as Saddam.
Pregnant point.
I'd like to see us just remove our present government. Let's start all over again.
Let's go back to a constitutional republic, which we've never lived under.
No, that's true.
Okay, God bless you guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Here, Michael. Talk to you later, bud.
Let's move to Russ in Texas. Russ, hello.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Well, Jeff, it's good to hear you back on the air again.
And
great to see you on the Republic.
You in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time.
Yes, sir.
You kind of missed the old days of preparedness expos, and I even tried to put in a call to Dan Chittuck and couldn't round him up, but I'd like to see those things get rejuvenated. I think it's about time. Anyway, the reason I called in was because I was watching Fox News about just about 45 minutes ago, and I was amazed to see that there was a Chinook helicopter out raising sandbags and carrying them over there and dumping them in this levee. The cameraman focused in, zoomed in on the helicopter, and the side of the helicopter said, Republic of Singapore Air Force.
My boy.
I mean,
yeah, where are they based? Are they in this country? Are they based in Texas, Chris? Do you know?
I'm not sure. Not sure.
Years ago, when I was traveling to one of the expos Russ was talking about, I would drive and I stopped at a Denny's type restaurant in New Mexico. Here sits a couple of guys in their Air Force uniforms speaking in German.
Yes.
And
yes.
We know about that.
Let's go with Republic Broadcasting listeners. It's 800-691-7898. Jeff Bennett is in charge. We'll continue with Russ, and then John in Pensacola to wrap up the hour. Stay with us. Okay, listeners, as we wrap it up, I have an email here, Jeff, that someone is saying that she's saying that the times that you said that New Orleans deserved what it got, is that what you were saying?
I didn't put it in those particular terms. I'm saying due to the devastation that's taken place, I think it's time, as is done in Southeast Asia when they burn the mountains to cleanse. The people don't deserve this, whether it's government manipulation or not, but the devastation has been so horrendous. The mold, the disease, all of which is growing in those buildings, the time has come to burn it. If they want to rebuild, rebuild. But I don't think the big boys are going to allow it to be rebuilt in the manner that you and I would consider rebuilding.
Oh, no. They're going to build sustainable communities out of this place.
Absolutely.
This is the whole point. It's Agenda 21. It's been 13 years into operation, and this is what's not being talked about.
Exactly.
Okay, Russ, now your thoughts for a minute, and then we'll take John. Go ahead, Russ.
Thanks, Chris. I really like what you said about the fact that we need to get back to being a constitutional republic. As this plays out, more and more we can show people that these people are not operating under the Constitution. Senator Charles Grassley was just on Fox News, and he's head of the Senate Finance Committee, and he was claiming jurisdiction over all of the federal money that's going to be spent here. You know, we can show people clearly that Article 1, Section 7 of the Constitution says that all bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Good point.
Thank you very much. God bless you both.
Thank you, Russ.
Crazy Chris, real fast gold and silver story coming out of Katrina. Got a call yesterday, former client of mine.
Did you just call me Crazy Chris?
Yeah. No, I just said Chris. Did I call you crazy?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm the crazy one. No, I've been on the phone so much I'm getting motor mouth.
Okay.
Anyway, client calls, obviously has to get out. They're given the warning, get out before this hurricane hits. He grabs his gold, left his silver behind, and he called me to find out if I knew the serial numbers on his silver bars. And I said, no, we don't keep those kind of records. Well, obviously, his 100-ounce silver bars are underwater in New Orleans somewhere. You can imagine the treasure that's underwater. That's one of the biggest problems with silver is the weight factor. Gold, you can shove it in your pocket. You can get up and move in the middle of the night very quickly. Keep that thing in mind, folks. Don't be planning on putting 1,000% of your hard asset money into silver. That's where gold is far more portable. And if you give us a call at, I'm not even front of the number. What is it?
800-691-7898.
If you call us at that number, I'll counsel you on it. Let's go to our last call.
Okay, John, welcome. John in Pensacola,
gentlemen,
welcome.
Gentlemen, Gentlemen,
yes.
Gentlemen, about these Mexican troops coming in the country, let me just say something, okay? Washington Journal, C-SPAN this morning, Susan, the presenter, read an article from the Washington Post to that effect, okay? Following that was a call by a lady who's the foreign affairs reporter for the Boston Globe, Miss Farrah Stockman, who was praising it, great, great, et cetera, et cetera. But let me bring to your attention one of RBN's own, okay? Alan Stang yesterday was well in advance of all of this, and he brought it to my attention, which perked me to call in and make comments that the damn Mexican forces ought to go over and fight in Afghanistan and Iraq.
We've got about 12 million illegal alien Mexicans in this country. We ought to pack them up and let them go fight.
But you know,
Wait a minute now. Time out. In order to stop the illegal immigration or the migration, we've got to stop the U.N. system and the State Department.
I agree.
It's happening there.
I told you yesterday, Chris, that the State Department is our greatest anti-American element out there.
John, I appreciate your call. Jeff, thank you for joining us today.
Chris, thanks much. Come on over to federalobserver.com. We'll keep it busy and keep you going.
Very, very good. 800-691-7898. 800-691-7898. God bless you all, listeners. Pray for the restoration of this constitutional republic. Good afternoon.